I get involved in instantly becomes ministry. It doesn't matter whether you're a florist or a doctor or a missionary, everything that the people of God do becomes a ministry. And you and I are called to take the message of the kingdom into the world, into the world, the whole world, in fact. Everywhere we go, we walk in the presence of God, under the anointing of God, because we are new creations, hallelujah, in Christ. We are born anew, born from above, and the Spirit of God is with us. And we are able to overcome because Christ has already overcome. And so the war is really over, because Christ has defeated all of our enemies. And so now we walk in victory. We walk with our heads lifted up. We walk with the triumphal march of the conquerors, those who have been able to bring forth new life through Christ into the world. We are the ones who demonstrate the kingdom of God is at hand. And that is what is so awesome about being a Christian, about walking with God, about serving the Lord. You and I are called of God. We are the citizens of the holy city. We are the people who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, and we are called by his name to rise and to walk the ways of God out in our life. And so as we go through the challenges and the difficulties of life, the whole purpose of challenges and difficulties is to demonstrate the kingdom of God being at hand. You see, the world, they can go through life and have good experiences and bad experiences. However, their ability to endure and persevere is all determined upon themselves and their own ability to manage and handle the things that they face. But you and I, we go through life and experience the same challenges, yet we come through victoriously. We come through having conquered, not because of us, but because of Christ in us. And because we have learned to apply the principles of the kingdom of God, we have come into kingdom compliance. And when you come into kingdom compliance, you have a different life experience than those who are not in compliance with the word of God, with the kingdom of God. And if we are citizens, then we live with certain rights and freedoms and certain abilities. We have the ability to go in and come out because we are citizens. We have certain authorities, and we have been talking about the importance of being a citizen. Being a citizen is something that is a privilege. It is something that you don't always have control over. The number one way to becoming a citizen we talked about was being born into a particular country or place. That makes you a naturalized citizen because you are born in that place. And the kingdom of God is no different. You must be born into the kingdom of God. And when you're born into the kingdom of God, you become a citizen with all of the rights and the authority of citizenship. And this is what Jesus accomplished for us. You see, in the Old Testament, the people were born and they lived according to the lineage that they were born into. And those who were born into the lineage of Abraham were known as the chosen people of God. And God chose them to bring the word of God through them and to establish them as an example to the world of the reality of God and the benefits of obeying his word. And so we see that history written out for us in the Word of God. And no matter what book of the Bible you open up, it always leads you to the fact that those who obeyed the Word of God had a different experience from those who did not. In fact, the fundamental difference between the heathen and the godly was only one thing. One obeyed God and the other did not. And you and I are called to a place where we too must come into kingdom compliance. We must learn how to obey and apply the principles of the kingdom that we have been now born into. And so we learn those rules, those rights, and what is available to us. And we're able to live our lives with a unique experience because we're able to do what the opposite of the world would say we ought to do, or what our flesh would compel us to do, and we would gain a godly, blessed result. And yet, when we would do the very things that our flesh would compel us to do, instead of feeling good or having a good experience as a result, we end up in a darker place. That's because the principles of the kingdom of God are different from the principles of this fallen world. And so we are beginning our theme this month on kingdom compliance. What it is that you and I are called to live out as we apply the principles of God in our life. What that means and how it looks for us as believers compared to those who are outside of Christ. And when you're in Christ, there are so many benefits that you and I are able to have, but there are essential benefits, and it's actually quite simple. And a lot of what we speak of and talk about so casually really has great depth to it, and there is power in it that if you learn how to actually become a doer of the word, you will see that your life experience will be changed. And so you can move from a carnal life experience to a divine life experience. And I don't know about you, but I want a divine life experience. And as a Christian, as a child of God, we have a choice. And we choose whether or not to give the Word of God a high priority or not. And depending to what degree we apply or seek out the principles of God in His Word and apply them in our life, that will determine the results that we gain and get in our life. And so, as we are examining the Word of God today, we will begin here in Zechariah chapter 14 in verse 9. And our lead verse says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and His name the only one." Hallelujah. Well, this passage is giving us a picture of the fact that there is a king who is the Lord, number one. And number two, that He is coming. He is coming again to rule. And His name will be the only one. He will be the only one. And when we see name in Scripture, we are always reminded that name connotates identity. It says that God is who He says He is. God is God. He is the Lord. And when you see the Lord capitalized, that means He has all dominion and all authority over our lives. That means He is Lord over all. He is the one whom we serve. And we serve Him. We are subjects of the kingdom of God. But we are more than subjects because we are born into the kingdom with all of its rights and its citizenship authorities. We have liberties and freedoms that the world does not have. Hallelujah. And so I would like to use as a theme today, the kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would consume us with your all-consuming fire, that you would dry up every hindering thing that would be a distraction in our minds, that we would be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that we may adapt our lifestyles and our ways to come under kingdom compliance. Help us, Lord, to operate in the power of your presence that we may be able to draw from the resources of heaven and of God, that the glory of God may be evidenced in our life, that we may truly experience divine life experiences, overcoming every obstacle and challenge of the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God has called us into kingdom compliance. And when you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, that enables you to have certain rights and authorities. Now, why does God use the terminology of a kingdom and not a republic? What is the difference essentially between a kingdom and a republic? Well, we know that we live in a republic, do we not? The United States, you guys who are familiar with history and politics and all of that, we know that the United States is a republic. And as a republic means that we are governed by the people and for the people. And essentially, the simplified element of that means, as the people go, so goes the kingdom, or so goes the country. And as the people are able to operate in the ways that they operate, they are able to establish their own rules and laws. In fact, here in America, our country is founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic because the people who came into this country had that as what was at the root of their desires, to see the liberty to worship God. As you remember, they left Europe because they were Christians in many forms and ways, were under persecution, and there were all kinds of taxes and all kinds of things that were going on that caused people to flee. And as a result, they came to America and they established what we know as the Constitution, and it is founded on biblical principles and its root. And we understand that the idea was that the people's hearts were in a particular place. And over time, we have seen that shift. Not that they were perfect in the beginning, but they were certainly a little bit better off than we are today. And so we find that the world shifts and governments are shifting based on the mentality of the people. And God understood the flaw in that. The flaw in that is that if the people are walking with God, then you will have a godly way of life. You will have godly rules and order, and people will hold each other up to a godly or a biblical standard that would enable people to walk in compliance with the word of God. But when the people go away from God and they establish rulers and leaders, now the mindset of the people begins to shift, which now causes the leaders and those who are in authority to also shift in order to represent the people that are paying them off and giving them lots of money to do and say what they want to say. No. That doesn't happen. And so as the people go, so goes the government and the authority. But God chose not a republic. He chose to be a king. In fact, the word of God says he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is largely because the kingdom of God is constant, because the leader and the authority is constant and consistent. It does not change. The rules don't change based on how people feel. Things don't shift according to someone's different ideas or thoughts. But the ways of God are established and rooted, and they do not change. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you have a guaranteed divine life experience when you operate under kingdom compliance. And so the kingdom of God is established so that you don't have to worry about people shifting and changing. Even in the world, when you have kings and queens, as we have seen throughout history, throughout Europe and the Middle East and different places in Africa and Asia, around the world, we have seen this concept of having a king or a queen who rules over the people. And it's always led to some type of problem, one way or another. And we even see that in the word of God, when the people of Israel demanded from God that God give them a human king. And God says, I'm telling you, you don't want a human king, because they are going to treat you in a way that you will not like. They will rule over you. They will use their authority over you against you and to benefit themselves, is essentially what God warned the Israelites. Yet they still insisted on having a human king rather than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God was trying to establish this example so that the rest of humanity would become jealous that the people of Israel had God as their king. And this is why he went into the wilderness and conquered all their enemies. This is why God came in and dispersed the people in the land of Canaan and gave it to the 12 tribes of Israel and gave it them all that the others who were ungodly or who had turned their backs on God were doing. He dispelled all those people and he blessed the people of Israel. And it was because God was their king. And so God was operating as a king over Israel in the same manner that people operate as kings over people. The only difference was you can't beat God. Hallelujah. There was no having victory over God. And so when the Israelites came into the promised land, everyone who was there feared the Lord because God was their Lord and he was their king. And so they were able to conquer and have victory as long as they remained in compliance with the word of God. And we know what happened to Ai when they tried to take that city. And one man, Achan, he came in and he took the spoils of Jericho when God said, don't touch the first. All firsts belong to God. The first of every blessing belongs to God. The moment you use it for something else, it becomes a curse in your life. And this is why many people find themselves in financial difficulty, because they don't tithe or they don't give to God off the first of what they have. And so their resources become tainted because they're operating in a sinful condition in regards to their finances. But that's a message for another day. And so we know that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things are added unto you. And so the Word of God gives us this understanding of God having all power and authority. And whenever God is talking about his encounters with man, or as he has encounters with men, even in the wilderness, to the times when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and even when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, we see this picture of God being portrayed as the God of thunders and lightnings. When he speaks and when he does whatever he does, the people had this thunder and lightning-like experience. And that is because it represents the power of God in the world, the power of God in our lives. And God is the source of light. He is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. And you and I are called also to be lights in the world, because the Word of God causes you to illuminate, not as a light that you would hit the switch and turn on, but that you would stand out in a powerful way from the world around you. And there will be something about you, the presence of God, that will cause you to be uniquely different. People who spend time in the presence of God carry that presence with them throughout their day, throughout their everyday interactions, and all the things that we do. All of those things are carried out because the presence of God is enabling us. He is strengthening us. He is moving us. And this power that God has for himself is imparted to us. And when we meditate on the Word of God, it renews us. It causes us to have the life of God charged within us, the Spirit of God. The anointing and the Word bring forth power. The anointing and the Word of God give you power to live out the Word, to come into compliance with the Word of God. And this is why in Matthew 6:31, he says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows what need you all, or that you need all these things. Hallelujah. And so our heavenly Father knows our needs. He knows what our situations are. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that Gentiles eagerly seek. Those are specific words there that are helping us to understand that their life is consumed with the pursuit of these things. In other words, the things that they need, or the things that are perceived needs. And so they're seeking after the things rather than the one who is the provider of things. And there is a difference between the two. And this is why the emphasis is on the end that says the Father, your heavenly Father, and notice it's your heavenly Father and my heavenly Father. It's because he is the King of Kings and we have been born into his kingdom. So we are adopted by God, or we are reborn by the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Can a man enter into his womb a second time? And Jesus says, no. You must be born of the Spirit of God, essentially, is what he says. Because God is Spirit. God is Spirit. And when you're born again, you're born from above, you're born of the Spirit of God. Remember, when Adam sinned, he was disconnected in his fellowship from God. And so he lost the ability to commune with God, to walk with God in the cool of the day. When he was in the Garden of Eden, he was in a kingdom that was established by God. All that he needed was provided there for him. He had no need to do any work. All he had to do is just tend to the garden, and he was just there eating and enjoying all that God had provided for him. And as a result, he had fellowship with God because he remained in compliance. What is it that enabled him to be in compliance? It was the fact that God had given him his word and he received it. When you receive the word of God and you live by it, you are in compliance to the kingdom of God. And whosoever word you obey, that's whose kingdom you transfer authority to. And so as a result, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what happened was there was a transferring of authority because Satan's word carried more weight than God's word. Satan's word was more believable than God's word. And whenever you and I are faced with situations where the world's words carry more weight than God's word, we are out of kingdom compliant. We find ourselves under Satan's compliance and demonic authority, where the words of Satan, or the words, I'll put it more politically correct, the words of fallen men carry more weight than the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is why when the spies went into the land and they spied out the land and they brought back the report, the question was laid out, whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord or the report that says you are doomed in your efforts? And so when we believe the report of the Lord, who says, I will give you the land, it doesn't matter who is in the land or what is going on there or what the opposition may look like. It doesn't matter what the situations or the circumstances are. If God says he will do it, then God will do it. Hallelujah. And so the question still remains today, whose report do you believe? When you go to work, the question will be, whose report do you believe? When you're interacting with your friends and your coworkers, when you watch the news and when you see all these things going on in the world today, the question will always be there, whose report do you believe? And so we are from another kingdom. Jesus said, if I was of this kingdom, my servants would fight, is what he told Pilate. And he's understanding the fact that he is not from this world. We are not of this world. You and I are not of this world. We have been born into a heavenly kingdom. And we have rights and powers and authority that come from God. And when we apply those principles, we come under kingdom compliance, and the conduit of God is established, and the power of God now flows. And so we must remain in compliance to have a consistent life experience that reflects the kingdom of God. And this is what the challenge is really are for us as the people of God, because now we go through life and we see so many Christians, they ride the roller coaster of life, right? They have their ups and their downs. And we go through life riding the roller coaster, but it doesn't have to be that way. You see, you can choose to believe the report of the Lord. You can hold on to the fact that God's word has spoken and it has been established. And when the Spirit of God brings that to your remembrance, then you can trust that you can hold fast the truth of God's word. That authority will carry weight in your life. I've had conversations with people that will try to debate all of the reasons why everybody doesn't have a certain type of experience. Why people don't have, you know, aren't always healed, or why don't people always have doors opened even though they've been knocking, and there's always a reason, and there's always people. Yes, there is, but there is the word of God, And when the word of God is held onto, you will have a divine result. And it does not matter what other people's experiences are. For you, if you're in kingdom compliance, then the rules and the authorities of that kingdom will be imparted in your situation. It will be imparted in your life when you tap in to that. But it's not just today and then tomorrow I do another thing. Today it's this way, tomorrow it's another thing. No, we have consistency in God. And when we have consistency in God, there's an increase that is cultivated and developed. It builds over time. You become more and more in sync or in communion with God. There's more strength that is imparted to you, more power that's imparted to you. There's more of God that's imparted to you. And when you walk in the ways of the Lord with consistency of mind, with consistency of heart, with consistency of focus, then you will have consistency of results. You see, God will establish himself in your life if you are rooted and grounded in God. If your mind is going this way and that way, and well, you're listening to this person, and then you're listening to that person, and you're listening to this and listening to that, and then the next minute you believe, and then you're like, oh, I don't know, well, maybe so, and then you talk to somebody, and they say, oh, this is going on, that, and all of a sudden they start taking you down a road, and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to go down that road, and people who are good-meaning, well-meaning people will take you down a path that leads to the way of darkness. And so instead of walking in the ways of the authority and the power of God, you are in the ways of doubt. And once you're operating in the way of doubt and confusion, then there is every evil work, the scripture says. And where there is every evil work, there is a lack of stability, and no one is going to be able to stand, because everything that you're standing on becomes shaky ground. But when you are rooted, when you are established, when you are walking with firmness of faith, when you're operating in the strength and the wisdom of the word and the truth of God, then you will have divine power and experiences that are going to be transitioned into your life. God can change situations. We were praying for the lot and the other land. We are having all this opposition. And man, we were all thinking, man, the devil is a liar. We're going to persevere. We're going to trust God. Meanwhile, it was God saying, I got a better place. Hallelujah. I got a better place. And I tell you, that's how life is sometimes. But we persevere in God. But because you persevere in God, God will show you the way to go. Hallelujah. God will show you the way to go. And when we hold on with a pure heart, God will make a way for you, because you are tapped in to the kingdom of God. And when you're tapped in, there is a work that will happen. It will breathe life into you. It may not look like it's going well. It may look bad. It may look dire. You might be getting bad news all the way around, but you hold on by faith. You trust in God. You say, God, your word has authority in my life. I am not going to just receive anybody's word. I'm going to filter it through the word of the Lord, through the word of God. I hear, yet I hear filtered. I hear, but I hear filtered. And the word of God filters everything that comes to us. And as we go through our walk with God, we have an experience that changes everything in our life. And it doesn't matter what the situation or the circumstances are. And so in verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things won't be needed. You don't have to worry about it. It'll just go away. No, it says they will be added. Hallelujah. They will be added. What does that tell us? That tells us you can go through the situation and be worried about it, be concerned about it, and even pursuing it and actually seeking a way to put it. But that brings anxiety. That is what brings trouble. That is what causes sickness and disease in our life, because we're worried about things. God says, if you just seek my kingdom, then everything will be provided. Why? Because when you live in the palace, everything is provided for you. Hallelujah. Well, when you're living in the place of the king, then he has servants and he has all types of people whose very purpose in life is to meet the needs of the residents of the palace of the king. Hallelujah. God has a way of making a way when it seems impossible. And what is awesome about God is because he is the conquering king, all of the spoils of the lands in which he has conquered become available to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why God says you need to be in a kingdom and come into compliance. It's because when you do, then all of the king's spoils are now a resource to you because you have been born into the royal family. And as a citizen of the holy city, you are more than a citizen. You are an heir of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You are an heir of the kingdom. And so that means all that God has, if for any reason something happened to God, you become heir. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, you don't have to worry, because God is not going anywhere. He does not change. You don't have to worry about him being conquered and defeated by his enemy. He is inconquerable. He is unable to be defeated. He is all powerful, and he is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. Oh, saints of God, all you need to do is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Two things you must seek: the kingdom of God, so that you can be in compliance, and then to do the will of God. You must do what the word of the Lord says. That is his righteousness. Do things his way, the right way. Don't believe the enemy's report. Don't believe all these negative things and things that are contrary to what God said. Well, some things are negative because God's made them negative. Isn't that right? There are negative things that are a part of the kingdom. And that's because it's for your protection and mine. And so God says, do not touch the unclean thing. That sounds negative, but it's like, don't touch the hot stove. You will be burned. And so he gives us warnings, and he tells us about things that we need to avoid so that we will know what to do and what not to do. How many of you realize knowing what not to do can be more beneficial than knowing what to do? I tell you, I learned a lot about what not to do, that it was after the fact. Hallelujah. But if somebody had been bold enough to say, hey, Shell, don't do that. If I were you, I wouldn't do that. I would be careful. I did have one friend who did give me a warning when I first got married. He gave me a warning. No, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. But he said to me, when you get married and you're dealing with your finances, he said, whatever you do, do not get a lot of credit cards. Do not get a lot of credit cards. Stay away from credit cards. They can be a blessing and a curse all at the same time. Now, that was, you're thinking, yeah, sure, right. I wasn't thinking anything about credit cards. It wasn't even on my mind. But as time went along, that word kept coming back to me, because that was the word from God. God used him to help guard and buffer my life. And so I always went through life, when it came to credit cards, I always had that Holy Spirit thing that said, and I'm like, credit card, wait a minute, let me think about this. Let me think about this. And it always brought pause into my life. And I have met so many people, they're quick with the card. Oh, sign up 5% off. Oh, yeah, let me sign up. I got one of these cards. Oh, let me have one. Got one of these cards. Man, they pull out, it's like when they open their wallet, it's like a deck of cards, right? They got so many cards there. It's like, ba, 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 ba. Yeah, 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 yeah. We can buy anything. Here, no, this one doesn't work. Try this one. No, try it. How about this one? No, how this? How about that? And they go through until they finally hit the ding, ding, ding. We got one. This one that's got enough room on this one. You can go through life like that, but you will not be in kingdom compliance. You will find yourself in a hole, and you'll find yourself in a situation where you'll be making all kinds of excuses of why in the area of your finances you cannot come into kingdom compliance. And so whatever area you are faithful to God in, that is the area where you will tap into the resources of heaven and of God. And you can be awesome in this area and horrific in this area over here. And we have to learn how to come into kingdom compliance in every area of our life. And that requires seeking for the ways of the kingdom, because we don't know the ways of the kingdom. God's ways are as far from our ways as the east is from the west. And that is why we have to seek first. Seek first. And a lot of times we think that, well, that means, well, we have to put God first, or we have to, you know, we just need to be saved. We need to have a relationship with God. We just need to be born again, and everything is good. I actually used to believe that. I used to believe, well, once you give your life to Jesus, that's it. You're good. You got your ID card. I'm saved. I got an ID that says I've been born of God. I got a new birth certificate. Hallelujah. Let's go, world. Woohoo. I'm good. And into the world I went. And I was doing everything everybody else was doing. All my friends, we were hanging out. We were doing all kinds of stuff. I didn't worry about church and all that stuff. I'm like, look, as long as you got Jesus, everything is going to be just all right. Yeah, I learned better. I learned better. Why? Because you have to come into kingdom compliance. And otherwise, the devil is going to say, there's one. All he does is follow your light. He says, you're all in the darkness. And you say, yeah, praise, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And he says, good, you're a target. And he just goes, poof, 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 poof. And he just picks you off. And you have one problem after the next. You have one issue after the other. You have this happening and that happening. Because you're out there in the world pretending like you're like them when you are born into another kingdom. And now the light of Christ that's in you, the Spirit of God that has been imparted to you, now becomes a target of the enemy. And you find yourself being snuffed out. You come to church and you don't quite feel comfortable. You can be in the world and you feel okay, but when you come to church, you feel like, oh, I don't know, I can't raise my hands. Oh, I gotta pray. Oh, I actually had somebody tell me one time, I don't like people trying to tell me how to praise God. I'm like, nobody's trying to tell you how to praise God. God tells us how to praise Him. It's not up to us. You know, we weren't the ones who made up lifting up holy hands. That didn't come from people. That came from God. Yeah, I wasn't the one who said, praise Him with your feet. I was God who said that. It was God who said, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, wasn't it? It was God. I mean, He's got a whole book on singing and dancing. Hallelujah. How in the world is that anybody? That's not me. That's not this person. You go to a church and there's no worship. People aren't praising God. They're not doing what the scripture says we ought to be doing. Whose fault is that? Somebody's believing the wrong report. And that is why when you go in, there's no life. It's oppression and it's quiet and everything is dead and the air is thick and it's heavy. But when the Spirit of the Lord is moving, there is freedom. There is liberty. People's burdens are being lifted. Hallelujah. I remember going to church and going in and going out with the same burdens I had. Hallelujah. Sometimes I came out with extra burdens. I'm like, where did these come from? Now I'm carrying stuff that's not even mine. I've got somebody else's burdens. And people are exchanging burdens in churches. Nobody leaving free. Hallelujah. But that's not here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We check the burden at the door. Hallelujah. You leave that outside. If you want to pick it up when you go out, that's on you. But I hope that you step right over it. Say, you stay right there. You stay right there. During the week, it gets swept away. Blown away. No more. We seek the kingdom of God and doing things the right way. There is a right way to do everything that you and I have to do. And God gives us direction in his word. And when we seek out the word of God so we can make sure that what we're doing the right way, then we will find ourselves in kingdom compliance and we will experience the flow of the blessings of God. This is the awesomeness of God's provision. This is what he does when you are a citizen of the holy city. This is what it means to live in the palace or the kingdom of God. This is why God says that we are kings and priests unto God. Isn't that what the scripture says? Isn't that what Paul says? We are kings and priests unto God. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you're just a citizen out in the city. That's where the people are, the pagans are. You see, we are like the Levites of God. You and I, we are born by God. That's what the difference is between Old Testament and New Testament. We become joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit of Christ now indwells us. That's why he said, wait in the upper room until you've been endued with power. He said, I will baptize you in the Spirit of God. That's because God now consumes us. Hallelujah. That means you are able to go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Why? Because you're of the Levitical order. You're of the high priestly order. Because you're a joint heir with Christ. Even as he, so are you and I in this world. That's what the word of God says. And so all the power and the authority of Christ is now ours also. Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I give to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you and I have what Jesus had. In fact, he goes one further. He said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You tap in. But if you walk in the flesh and just operate according to mental consciousness, then you will find that you will have carnal ways. And your thinking will also be carnal. But when you're tapped into the presence of God by the word of God and the Spirit of God is stirring and working within you, then you have revelation. And you begin to see things a little bit differently. And you begin to say, yes, but I know that God is able to do. And God is a doer. God is an action. And being a part of the kingdom of God brings about an action. Verse 17 of Romans 14 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, doing things the right way, and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I like King James says, in the Holy Ghost. There's just something about Holy Ghost. That Jesus, man. But people don't like that. Holy Spirit. No, I want the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want the ghost. I want the boo. Hallelujah. Don't be robbing me of the boo. I want the boo. Hallelujah. I need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because that's what he does. Isn't that right? Right? All of a sudden, God's something. He goes, boo. Look at that. And you go, ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. That's Holy Ghost right there. You see that? You say, oh, yeah. Why do people want to rob you of the boo? I don't understand. People are freaked out about it. Oh, he's not a ghost. He said he was. He's a spirit. Well, it's really the same thing. Then why do you got a problem with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. He's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He's got the boo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know. I've heard wives call their husbands, hey, boo. Hey, boo. Hallelujah. He's my boo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God, he's my boo. He's like, boo. He's like, every time he says, Shell, don't do that, boo. I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do that. He says, hey, you know, get into alignment. And God will send people into your life, and they'll tell you, you know, you ought not do that. You know, I get lectures all the time on the way home in the car, right? You know, well, you know, you really should have done it. And I'm like, that's like the boo, 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 boo. And I'm like, And you can get mad or you can just say, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Help me, God. Help me, Lord, to come into compliance. Hallelujah. And so we pray and we see God. And we know that it's righteousness, doing things the right way. Whatever you do, make sure you're doing it God's way. If you've never studied it out, study it out and find out what the Word of God says so you can come into compliance with the Word of God. Then you'll receive the blessing. Do you feel like you're not blessed in a certain area? Do you feel like you're struggling in certain areas? Go to the Scriptures and seek out what God says you need to be doing. And make sure that you're doing exactly what the Word of God says. And when you do that and you change your ways, that's what repentance means. Repentance means come into compliance. When you come repent, we have to repent over everything that we do. It's not just, well, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Well, that sounds good. That sounds really good. But it's more than talk. That means you have to now search the Scriptures to look at everything you do and the way you do everything that you do and make sure you're in kingdom compliance. And this is why the Scripture says pray without ceasing. People say, well, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to. What? With all the problems you got? How do you not know what to pray for? Right? I mean, you got all kinds of issues. You can't get along with this person. You got a problem with that. You know, on the job, you got issues. You got things happening with your kids. They're buck wild. You got all kinds of things happening. You got all, you know, you and your husband, you can't get along. You got all kinds. Man, you ought to be in prayer so long that you just saturate the carpet with sweat and tears. Hallelujah. How do you not have anything to pray for? Well, you know, I don't have time to come to the prayer meeting. You don't have time. Well, I guess you got time to suffer in your sinful ways then. I don't have time to pray. Well, you know, I'm tired. I've got to get out of that. Oh, you know, it's so hard. You know what? The reason you're tired and worn out and stank is because you don't come before God. When you come before God and you're persistent in God, you will have a changed life experience because you are coming into kingdom compliance. And when you come together, now your light and my light and his light and her light and everybody's light. Now we come together, and the devil, he needs a bigger gun now. He can't stamp us out because we're wandering around in the darkness as a solo. God says, oh no, now we come together in the power of his might. Hallelujah. You and I can operate in the power of God. When you come to church, power is imparted to you. While you're in here, strength is being imparted to you. Why? Because we're tapping in to the resources of the kingdom of God, and it's designed to flow. That's why we like to shout, hallelujah. We like to make noise, because the Word of God says, shout unto God. He don't say whisper. He don't say shush unto God. He doesn't say, or close you. He says, shout, hallelujah. And these are things that cause us to come into kingdom compliance. So when we connect together, the anointing of God is at work. You become healed, you're renewed, you're set free. And when you do things right, then you'll find that you will have peace. You don't have peace? It's because you're not doing things right. When you do right, then peace will come. It's automatic. And then joy. When you have joy, that all comes in the Holy Spirit. That's because you can't have joy without having peace. Hallelujah. And when you have joy, then the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Now you can be patient. Then you can be kind, and you can have self-control. Isn't that right? Why? Because you have righteousness, joy, and peace. You see, once you have the first part of it, the second part is automatically downloaded from the kingdom and the resources of God in heaven into your life. Changes your whole situation. Changes people on your job. Changes situations. Changes family members. Causes things to start to quake and shake. The most powerful thing you can do is tap into God through prayer, through applying the Word of God, through calling out names. You know what? Somebody get on you, call a name out. God, speak to them. You tap into God. God will change them. You'll find out something will change in them. Something will happen. God will bring about the change. He says in verse 18, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Hallelujah. Because when you are operating in the righteousness of God, instead of trying to figure out how to take care of yourself, looking out for number one, that's what it means by eating and drinking, and then you will find that you're operating in righteousness, and then peace and joy will be coming a part of your life because of the love of God. And as the love of God is at work in your life, you will find that you will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. And verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Hallelujah. That's why the people walking around talking about they're blessed and highly favored always seem to have the most problems in their life. I don't understand what it is or why it is, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that per se, but I do think that when that's all people say every time you see them, that that's a sign that they're in denial about something. And you need to tap in and try the resources of God so that somebody else can say, hey, look at that. That brother's blessed and highly favored. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you come into kingdom compliance because now other people will say that you're blessed and highly favored. You see, whenever you don't have something and you have to say it yourself, then, you know, that's always a bad sign. But when other people tell you you're blessed, then that's a better place to be, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if the devil is trying to mess with me, yeah, I'll say I'm blessed and highly favored. Devil, get behind me. But I tell you what, I know that because God is making provision in my life and he's opening doors. He's causing everything about my life to come into kingdom compliance. And every day we walk with God. Every day we commune with God and we ought to be coming into kingdom compliance. And we will see that the kingdom of God is not just words, but it's in power. Hallelujah. Power to do. When the word of God comes alive in you, it will cause actions to take. You will be a doer. Something will happen. You will do the right thing. The word leads to doing the right thing. It brings you into compliance so that you can experience the power of God. So he says, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Which do you prefer? What do you desire? Well, I'll tell you what. I would prefer love and a spirit of gentleness, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. We all know the rod, right? We all had parents. Isn't that well? If you had a good parent has a good rod. Isn't that right? They go together. I know the world says something different, but they're of a different spirit. And so we know that in the kingdom of God, there is a rod of correction and there is a rod of righteousness. And God will use it on us until we come into compliance. And so we have a reason to trust God, to love God, to allow him to work in our life because he comes with love and a spirit of gentleness. But if he has to, he will come with the rod if that's the way you choose him to come. And the only way he's gonna come that way is if you resist walking in obedience and doing the right thing. I've seen my daughter have to discipline the grandchildren. And sometimes it's like, and I always get the pop. You stay out of this. And I'm like, all right. And I just have to, because the love of God, and God has called us to be able to receive correction when we need it. And I tell you, the word of God says, whom he loves, he chastens, right? He disciplines. God disciplines the people that you love. And we all love those who we care about. And when you go through life, if you can be a part of the church and no one ever corrects you about things that you're doing and operating in your life, then maybe the people in that church don't love you. And a lot of people get upset when somebody tries to tell them the things that they need to change in their life that they recognize that will help them come into kingdom compliance, and they get mad.
Well, who do you think you are? Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me.
Nobody's judging you. You said you were a child of God. Shouldn't you be in compliance here? It's not about judging. It's trying to help. We are all trying to come into compliance so the blessing of God can flow. Amen. And when we're all in compliance, there's a move of God. There's a flow of God. In verse 15, he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What is he saying? He's saying, change your ways to come into compliance. That's what repentance means. It means stop doing things the way the world does them and do them in accordance with the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to transform your life. Come into alignment. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek out the ways of the kingdom. Seek out the wisdom and the knowledge of God so you can change your way of doing different things in your life so that you can experience the power of God. Believe the gospel. The gospel is not just that Jesus died and rose from the grave, but it's that we are reconciled to God as well. And now we are in communion with the Holy Spirit, and God can speak to us. He can give us direction. The Holy Spirit is our legal advocate, our paracletus. He comes alongside us. He gives us advice in moments, in situations, in circumstances. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. How many times in the New Testament do we see Paul and the different disciples say, the Holy Spirit told us not to go here or wouldn't allow us to go there? And these are all things that the Holy Spirit was giving them direction. And you and I have the same benefit. We too can receive direction from the Holy Spirit of God. But you have to be in kingdom compliance, and that requires repentance. Every time you stop doing things the way you used to do it and start doing it in obedience to the Word of God, then you're coming into kingdom compliance, and you are repenting. Repenting is not just one time, it's every day. It's all the time. Every time you say, "Ooh, I'm not gonna do it that way, I'm gonna do it this way," that's a repentance. That's because you're saying, I'm not gonna do it the way that I'm thinking in my flesh or the way that it's usually done. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit has given me to do. God, give me wisdom. Lord, show me. So now I'm tapping into the resource that I have so that I can now have a different life experience, so that I can see the manifestations of God. And that is why he says, believe the gospel. In other words, believe the word of God. He says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is Matthew 4:17. God has called us to bring repentance. Repentance doesn't just mean admit you're a sinner. That's not repentance. That's just acknowledging you're a sinner. Repentance is when you change what you do, your actions. It's not the word only, it's the word and power. The power is what enables you to change the way you do things, right? To change what you do. This is what God is doing. In verse 10 of Matthew 6, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples to pray? All right, this is come into kingdom compliance. He's saying, your will be done. Not my will, but thy will. Every time you say, not my will, Lord, but your will, we have to change and come into compliance. Jesus is saying, pray that you come into compliance with the word of God, with the kingdom of God. And once we are able to change our ways to line up with the word of God, then the power of God flows into our situation, flows into our life. In Matthew 25:31, he says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of the Father, of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. This is what we are looking to experience. We want to be on the right-hand side of God. Hallelujah. For you, it's this side, right? We want to be on the right-hand side of God. And when we're on the right-hand side of God, then we are able to enter into the kingdom. This is why the word of God says, if I go to prepare a place for you, right? I prepare a place that you may, where I am, you may be also. The whole idea is that we and Christ end up in the same place because he is the first of many brethren. He is leading the way. This is what it means to be led of God. We are following him to the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. which means the ways of Jesus have to become your ways. Otherwise, you'll find yourself on a different course, and you'll be going the wrong way, and you'll be claiming to be somebody, but you ultimately won't be, because you're going to be on the wrong side of where you're supposed to be. And that means you're not in compliance with the word of God. And this is why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Because whoever's word you believe and you apply in your life, that's whose authority you are truly under. And when you believe the word of the Lord, the report of the Lord, you come under divine authority. Then you have power to conquer all of the nations in the promised land in order to make it yours. Hallelujah. Because God goes before you, and God will make a way even when it seems like it's an impossible task. And so verse 9 of Colossians 1 says, for this reason, Paul says, also, since the day we have heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the idea is that we are able to grasp these concepts so that we can come into kingdom compliance, so that you will what? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The more you know of God, the better you will be in your life, because you'll be able to bring the various areas of your life into kingdom compliance. You will see the power of God imparted to you in every area of your life. And so verse 11 says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Isn't that awesome? You see that? Do you want joy in your life? Do you want patience? Do you want to be steadfast? Well, then all you need to do is allow the strengths of God's power to be imparted into your life by coming into compliance with the word of God in every area of your life. Verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. The light of God. You and I, we have an inheritance of God. You and I, we have reason to give thanks. We ought to be celebrating because God has reconciled us to himself. You and I can have this assurance that is in Christ. Verse 13 says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You and I, we have had a divine transfer. Hallelujah. We are no longer in darkness. We are no longer in the place of separation from God. We are no longer put outside of the resources of God. But now we have been restored by Christ into the kingdom of God. He is our ruler. He is our authority. All power is in his hands. All authority is in his hands. All we need to do is come into kingdom compliance. We come to the throne of grace and we ask God for direction. We seek him for wisdom and we desire all of the things that he has available for us so that we can live godly in Christ Jesus. That we would experience the power of God so that when the Lord comes, he will be king over all the earth. And in that day, there will be only one, and there ought to be only one in your life, only one in my life, and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings, because we are a part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The blessing and the love of the Lord.
Son to save us, whoever believes in him will live forever.
God. It's not just the word of God that we quote and we say it, but it's when we come into compliance with the word of God. When you become a doer of the word, you will have a divine experience in your life.
You will see the manifestations of God. He will change your situation and your circumstances. He will cause those things that are in darkness to come to light. Those things that are oppressed and brought down, He will raise them up. He will liberate. He will set free. He will enable you to be restored in the fullness of God. All you need to do is come into kingdom compliance. Allow the word of God to be manifested in your life. Why? Because you're a part of the kingdom. It is the kingdom of God that will prevail. It is the kingdom of God that overcomes. God's kingdom will overcome. God's kingdom will prevail. No other kingdom, no other name. There is a day coming where the Lord will be king over all the earth. He is the only one, and He will be guaranteed victor on that day. And so you and I, we can go through life with oppression, carrying weights, having issues and problems, or we can apply the principles of the Word of God in our life. We can trust the report of the Lord and establish ourselves as citizens of the holy city and heirs of Christ, joint heirs, in fact, and be able to know that as those who are born of the Spirit of God, we are able to prevail beyond the times and see the glorious wonders and works of God come to life to sustain us until we hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, God, that you would fill us, God, enable us, strengthen us, help us, oh God, to come into compliance in every area of our life, that we would experience the benefits of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.